Many people in the Middle East are hoping for a change in America's involvement in Iraq. That appears to be on its way, not necessarily because of the election, but because of some American entrepreneurs. Reporter Jay Field tells us that some American companies are looking to do business in Iraq, despite the risks.
Dennis Heathfield had traveled across the Middle East to scores of business meetings in his job with generator manufacturer Cummins Inc., but he'd never taken a trip quite like his first one to Iraq.
I've never been escorted into a business meeting by security detail or wearing an armored vest and a helmet.
He'd never traveled to the site of a meeting by Black Hawk helicopter or mine-resistant armored vehicle either. But that's exactly the situation Heathfield found himself in back in July, just 25 miles outside of Baghdad. Cummins is considering partnering with two state-run Iraqi companies to fix power generators.
It does make you think, okay, if we're going to pursue this thing, it's obviously going to be part of the normal routine for some period of time, but how long will this be required? What kind of complications does it put on us as business people?
So far, Cummins hasn't been deterred. The U.S.-based manufacturer has signed a letter of intent to go ahead with the project. But while other foreign companies are also exploring private ventures inside Iraq, many aren't willing to take on the risks.
Iraq is not going to be London anytime soon.
2 years ago, with violence in Iraq spinning out of control, U.S. Deputy Undersecretary of Defense Paul Brinkley launched a task force to rebuild the country's economy and spark business deals between foreign investors and the Iraqi government and private sector.
Iraq is just emerging from a very difficult time in its history. It's a strong mercantile culture. It has not done business internationally in a long time. So one of the things we're working to do is to encourage these initial investments to take place with the knowledge based on experience in other parts of the world that one transaction leads to another, and each one gets a little bit easier.
Brinkley, a former Silicon Valley executive, says there's been over $500 million in foreign investment in Iraq this year. It's not much money compared to the amount of activity going on in most other countries, but Brinkley is quick to note that he didn't think any deals would get done at all. By January, he expects the total figure to climb to over $1 billion, though in a twist, it's not U.S. companies leading the way. Private U.S. interests have invested only about $150 million in Iraq.
U.S. manufacturers have got to get on the train and fast.
Tom P. Hall runs Global Market Link, a U.S. consulting firm working on the reconstruction efforts in Iraq.
In Baghdad, you see Chinese, French, Korean, German, British, and Indian company representatives visiting ministries every day seeking opportunities.
There are many reasons U.S. firms are hedging. The war remains deeply unpopular in America, and companies may not want their brands associated with it, especially as turmoil roils Wall Street. Other significant hurdles include a banking system still in its infancy, limited legal, governmental, and regulatory protections for investors, creditors, and employees, and a basic cultural divide. Phil O'Connor, a Chicago-area energy executive, spent the last year working as an advisor at the Iraqi Ministry of Electricity.
Westerners lack of patience. We want to go right in and get a decision made and move on and get things done. The Iraqis want to establish a personal relationship. They want to get to know you.
It's how business gets done in the Middle East. American companies simply have less experience in the region than their European and Asian competitors. So even if Baghdad does in time resemble London, U.S. companies will still have to find a way to bridge the cultural divide to successfully do business there. For The World, I'm Jay Field.